Brothers, venerable religious, sisters and brothers, dear parishioners, dear guests, my thoughts on this Christmas day are very much in the historical frame of mind, you might say, because after all, our centennial year is drawing to a close. In a centennial is all about history. And we actually began our centennial over a year ago, so we were already beginning the centennial as of, actually we began it in August of 2014, because that was the 100th anniversary of the groundbreaking, and so we thought we would just keep celebrating for a year and some 3 months, actually 4 or 5 months, I should say. And now it's coming to a close soon. January 10th will be our official end of the observance. And I remember we started to prepare for the centennial at least 5 years beforehand. And there were some thoughts of dread in my mind as I was thinking of all the things we would want to do to really make it a grand, glorious, fervent observance. And as 2015 kept getting closer and closer, sometimes a little bit of panic would set in. But we did it. Not quite finished yet, but we did have wonderful events. We were able to plan them. We had many a visitor to the Mount. And please note that the Christmas letter, which is also available in the vestibule, is a recap of the centennial events. And I truly can say that my mind was filled with gratitude and some nostalgia now as we approach the closing of our observance, but we were blessed. Yes, we could have done different things better. We could have done more things, but we really tried. And I want to thank especially Mr. and Mrs. John Netzel for all of their tremendous efforts to plan and coordinate the events. Also to Mrs. Cassie Binder, she did very much, and many of you did also, to help us with things like establishing our museum, having dinners, plays, observances, even the local TV stations got involved, and we are grateful for the favorable coverage that we received. So my mind is very much on history. And yes, we could reflect upon the history of he who was born. But everything really is a reflection about that, is it not? And what I would like to direct your attention to is possibly the first Christmas observed in the Pacific Northwest by the newly converted Coeur d'Alene Indians. Very historical. And who was it that brought about the conversion of the Native Americans in this whole Pacific Northwest? It was those giants, the Jesuits. Those men who risked life and limb, who gave their whole lives for the conversion of these people. And their success was phenomenal. And Mount St. Michael was built, and I don't mean it just in the physical sense, I mean in the spiritual and metaphysical sense. It was built upon the success of Father de Smet, Father Nicholas Point, and those other Jesuit missionaries that did so much. I'm going to add another book to your bucket list. I've mentioned this before, the books that I think should be on all of our lists. I'll have to give you a, a written copy of it, but one that you have to read is the life of Father Pierre de Smet, who burned with zeal to bring the Native Americans to Jesus Christ and to his Holy Mother. And so the Jesuits left their legacy. We were celebrating that legacy in our centennial. And this book about Father de Smet will leave you at times shaking your head in near disbelief of what he endured for the conversion of the people here that lived in this area. And again, our success, who we are today, was built on that zeal and dedication. So as I read this one night about this Christmas that Father de Smet spent with the Coeur d'Alene Indians, I was thinking, I have to share this with you. After all, this is the year of history. And what's amusing, but also shows the providence of God, Father de Smet didn't want to spend Christmas with the Coeur d'Alene Indians. He wanted to spend it with the Flathead Indians, the tribe that's on the other side of the Bitterroot Mountains. And he tried every way he could, but the harsh weather kept turning him back. So he wasn't prepared for this, but it was God's will, obviously. And so he spent this Christmas day, and I want you to hear how it was spent, how edifying these Catholics were, how they observed their day of thinking and honoring the Nativity of Christ. The Coeur d'Alene Indians blessed the accident that had given them back the missionary, but the intrepid Father de Smet did not abandon his project. Now that the mountains were impassable, he determined to reach St. Mary's through the Kalispell Valley, and it looked for a time as though he might succeed. But it was then the middle of December, the Clark Fork began to freeze over, and the Indians in charge of the canoes declared that to continue was to advance to certain death. Only then did Father de Smet decide to return and to wait until spring. The Indians put their best hand, this is Father de Smet writing about his Christmas day with them. The Indians put their best tent at my disposal and endeavored in every way to render my stay in their midst as agreeable as circumstances would permit. On Christmas Day, 124 adults received baptism. That's Father de Smet doing 124 baptisms. A few minutes before midnight, a pistol shot rang out in the night, followed by a discharge of musketry in honor of the child Jesus, and 300 voices in the forest intoned in the language of the tribe that beautiful hymn, "The Almighty's Glory All Things Proclaim." Immediately, the throng of worshipers crowded into the humble chapel constructed of trunks of trees, straw, and bark. Pine branches interspersed with wreaths and garlands of green decorated the interior, and above the simple altar hung a paper star with a profusion of streamers that attracted the eyes of the Indians. I celebrated High Mass at midnight, at which the congregation chanted Christmas hymns, and never did the words of the Gloria seem more appropriate, "Peace on earth to men of goodwill." Breakfast followed the Mass, and the joyousness of the reunion resembled the love feasts of the early Christians. Later, the catechumens presented themselves in the church to receive baptism. The old men and women I had baptized 2 years before, still preserving their baptismal innocence, in other words, they didn't commit a single mortal sin, acted as godfathers and godmothers. Not in vain did the priest pronounce those sublime words of the ritual, "Receive the white garment, which you will bring without blemish to God's tribunal, that you may enter into eternal life." For he had the certainty that the larger part of the catechumens would preserve their innocence until death. When asked later on if they had offended God and if their consciences were free of all reproach, they replied, "How can you ask, Father? In baptism, I renounced evil. Is it not fitting that I should shun it? Even the thought of displeasing the Great Spirit makes me tremble." In the evening, solemn benediction of the Blessed Sacrament was given for the first time. After this ceremony, 50 couples, some of them over 80 years of age, came forward to renew their marriage vows. I could not restrain my tears, so deeply was I affected by the sincerity and affection with which they promised henceforth to have but one heart. After the last instruction, prayers of thanksgiving were said for the favors received during the day, and although it was getting late, prayers continued to be said and hymns sung in every lodge. Isn't that beautiful? The conversions were astounding. So wonderful was their work. You see, the natives here, they were untainted by the world. So that wasn't really the problem. The worldliness getting to them. They were open to the gospel. And when the Jesuits came and preached about our Lord and the Holy Catholic faith, they just soaked it in, just like sponges. And they edify us to this day. Did we not hear the words about them preserving their baptismal innocence? How they all went to Mass at midnight. How many were baptized that day. And how they renewed their marriage vows. And it was so edifying for the priest to see that total dedication that they were renewing to them, to each other, husband and wife in marriage. And so we look with admiration, and we can even imitate them. Imitate their prayer, their devotion. As you celebrate Christmas Day, let the prayer rise from your homes. Let it not just be about feasting and visiting with one another. Let's remember whose birthday it is. They certainly didn't forget. They certainly were not unaware. And as I said, my mind is very much on history, and I want to just emphasize this one point. My dear brethren, make no mistake, we are writing the history of our lives right now. Just as we look back at the history written about them, how fervently they converted to the Catholic faith and lived it, history is being written right now. History is being made, I should say, and somebody will record it. The question is, will what is written about us be the kind of thing that can be pointed to and say, do as they did, live as they lived? Just as we can say of those Native Americans, as we read the account of their Christmas celebration, can that be said of us? Will it be said of us? As I mentioned, the first day of our centennial observance, August 24th, 2014, one of the signs that has impressed me so much in my life is a hand-painted sign I saw that said, "Circumstances are God's sealed orders." And we must keep remembering that God chose us to live in these times, to be in this parish, to be in this age where so many have lost the faith. This is the age of the great falling away. And maybe we wish we were living in another time and era, but the divine infant who knows all things chose us to live in this time, and to meet the challenges with the help of his grace and our Blessed Mother's intercession. So as we celebrate this Christmas Day, I want to inspire you. I hope I can inspire you with that appreciation of our Catholic heritage and history. And let it be a springboard for your fervor. Again, We don't know what will be written about us. We don't know how close the second coming of Christ is. It will happen a year from now, 5 years from now, 100 years from now. We don't know. But may our lives be found worthy of inspiration. And we will always find that inspiration whenever we look at the stable and see God become man, born for us as a little infant. One thing I discovered in my research about the Native Americans and the Jesuits is that the Jesuits would teach them to say many times, "Jesus, I give thee my heart." What more beautiful prayer can we not say? And say it many times. Say it in every Holy Communion you receive. Every day that you live, every time you visit in God's holy house, say with Mary, your holy mother, "Jesus, I give you my heart." A blessed Christmas to each and all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.